previously on Worlds Away.
Where do you try to plant the device?
I don't think she's trying to conceal it.
So there's just like right on top of the workbench is where you place it?
Yeah, sure. Kind of a big old middle finger.
Are there any adjustments, additions, or objections to be made to the final list before it is to be put to a vote?
I think Lilo raises her hand and stands to be recognized. We have all outlined our beliefs, and I ask that you all consider this because it will mean so much to not just humans, but to other species as well. We owe it to ourselves and to our own future generations to ensure that we act as responsible stewards of the galaxy as a whole.
I have one additional proposal. In addition to the core principles stated and signed here, I would like to propose that we once again follow in the steps of our ancestors, and we dare to dream. So I propose an interplanetary council with representatives from every planet humans inhabit. I call for the decommissioning of wartime fleets and for the creation of the greatest peacekeeping force our species has ever known, and I ask for it by unanimous approval.
Maybe it's Mateo actually stands and begins to applaud. And I think then he is followed one by one by all of the delegates until the entire room is applauding the two of you.
I start to cry. It's silent, but there are tears streaming down my face. Ladies and gentlemen, the founding of the Interplanetary Council of Humanity.
What is it that you're trying to do inside the administration building?
This is a top secret facility. I'm sure there's some communication here between whoever's in charge of this facility and Aventine, possibly even directly to Alpha. I want all the information I can get about the ghost ship. I want to find the shepherds.
What does it look like when you realize that Leela messed with your head?
Juicy.
As Arno was searching through the files, the sound of the water has been getting louder and louder, and it finally reached the second floor. And now that he's found these documents, it felt like he was trying to keep his chin above the water, and it had finally gotten too high, and that first breath in of what was supposed to be drowning was timed with reading these documents and the realization that this is all wrong. And so when he takes that, when he inhales instead of water, it's like he's woken up from a nightmare, and the only thing he can think of is watching Leela paint the scene in front of him in the landscape, walking back to him and whispering in his ear, "You did that," before standing next to me.
I have one more question for you, Arno. Earlier, you told me that you left something behind. And what I want to know is, what does the name tag on a fleet uniform look like? Welcome to Worlds Away, an actual play storytelling podcast. I'm your game master, John Ossip, and here we've got Haley Daria.
Hello, hello.
Lauren Wilbanks.
Alpha Flaps.
Whoa.
Michael Morales.
I don't know how to follow that.
Mike, that's such a cop-out.
Gov.time.
Mike, I feel like that Lauren comes in with something wild every time. You have to get ready.
Wasn't that wild. I mean, I've just been using a lot of Alpha Fold. Thought I'd throw flaps in there.
You do use flaps a lot.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about it. I was like, what is a fold?
You might say daily.
A flap.
Would you expand on your affiliate? Would you say you have an affiliation for flaps?
Affinity?
Affinity. Affinity.
Affiliation is kind of gang related. And I'd say, yes, I am in a gang with flaps.
You're in the flap gang?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we don't call it that, but
I mean, lamos do.
Yeah. Like that's what the government calls us. But
is this like the Zizians?
Oh, my God. Yeah. All we're Rothko's Basilisk.
Zizians invoked. Eject.
We got to move on. All right.
This was not one of our better.
No, it was not. Dear
Happy
God.
50th right. episode, everybody.
Jesus Christ.
This is Haley's fault. Hill.
All right. Yeah, we're in the fucking like podcast. 50 episodes, we're in like the fucking podcast retirement community. This point, they're gonna like.
Yep.
All right. When we last left off. What's our?
I said the villages.
All right. When we last left off, Arno, I had asked you what the name tag on a fleet uniform looks like. And since we ended before I got an answer to that question, I would like to hear that from you now.
Oh, I thought we were intentionally leaving that hanging, so I haven't dedicated any thought to what the...
Boo, think about it.
Improv.
Like. Yeah.
Do your job.
Yeah, so I think it's an insert, like a recess, like a that goes into the suit so that it, like when it's in there, it's flush with the rest of the suit.
Mm-hmm.
And so there might just be like a square of Arno's like suit that's missing and just like popped out or something. I think he put it on maybe in a hurry or I don't know. Plenty of reasons why it might have come loose. But I think it's just a square that says the abbreviation for his rank, first initial, last name on there. And I think it's that same matte black. And I think it's just carved into it. I don't think it's actually like a specific color or anything like that.
I see. So I think what we see then is the name tag you just described lying in this sort of loose gray dust on the ground. And we see several booted feet walk into the frame and a gloved hand inside a vac suit reach down and lift it off of the surface.
Uh-oh.
Mara, you're still in the middle of setting up the last of your EMPs inside the production facility. And you mentioned that you had had your scanner set to detect movement of the guards and other personnel inside this facility.
Yeah.
And I think that you hear a klaxon begin to blare. And you also begin to see several of these red blips in sort of video game radar mode begin to move away from the crater at the edge of the complex and begin moving back toward the center where you are. How do you react to this?
So first things first, have I finished placing the device or do I need to expedite some process that I'm executing?
I think you're, I would say like 60% done setting it up at this moment.
I'm just imagining her glancing and mentally tracking her path of exit.
Okay.
And then taking a half second, I turned my head right, taking a half second to glance back and mentally calculate the time it's going to take her to reach that exit and get out and, hasten her pace.
Okay. So I'm going to have a follow-up question on that, but I guess there's one other thing. Do you call Arno at all, or are you just solely focused on finishing what you're doing with the device here?
I think for right now, she's just going to focus on finishing getting the device set up.
Okay.
Sorry, Arno.
In that case, my follow-up question is, I can see two ways that you handle that. One is maybe you're trying to, I'll say, keep your cool and kind of methodically finishing setting the device and keep your focus on that and ignore the kind of chaos around you? Or are you trying to shift your approach and finish this as quickly as possible and sort of regain some time? Because I think that's going to determine which sort of move we use to resolve this.
I think it's keep your cool. That's okay. Exactly kind of what I was imagining when I was articulating her, you know, her perception.
Okay. I think it's like the advantage of acting quick is like literally it is acting quick. And so you might finish faster. But I think that the risks to that are something goes wrong with what you're doing. So if the priority is get it right and then move from one problem to the next, then I think it's keep your cool. All right. Yeah. So in that case, I want you to go ahead and roll plus Stalwart for me.
Okay.
All right.
5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, mixed success.
All right, pretty good. So for keep your cool, on a 7 to 9, you can choose one. You either have disadvantage going forward, you suffer one stress, or you give up something, leave something behind, or take something with you, and I'll tell you what.
I'm going to take a stress.
Okay. All right, so go ahead and mark a stress. We'll come back to how this resolves in a second. Arno, we left you standing at the console where you had just received the information or downloaded the information about the sightings of the ghost ship when you came to the conclusion that Leela may have messed with your head. You hear the klaxons. I don't know if you have access to the video game radar that Mara has set up, but you hear the klaxons going off inside this space. What do you do?
So I think when we last left Arno, in his mind, as everything was coming to a head in the last session, the water was rising and had passed his head, and he had taken that last deep breath. And I think he catches himself hunched over the desk that he's at, heavily breathing and still catching his breath and in a cold sweat right now. And I think he realizes he's somewhere he didn't intend to be, and there are alarms going off, and he needs to get the fuck out of there as quickly as possible. So I don't know if they know where I am, but I suspect I did something in this office to set an alarm of some sort. And so my mind immediately goes to making sure Mara doesn't get caught. So I would like to make my way back downstairs in the admin building to that western entrance. John, is there like glass in the door? Can I see outside, or do I need to open it to see what's out there?
I think the door is actually like an airlock, right? I mean, so maybe I'll say you tell me. I don't think that there are large windows on the door, right? But maybe there's a narrow slit, and maybe you have to kind of be standing at the right angle to line them up. I could be convinced that there's no window at all also, but it is an airlock that's sort of letting you in and out there.
I don't want to check to see if there's anyone to the left or to the right of the door. I want to see if there's anyone directly in front of the door, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think you look out, and at least right now, you don't see anyone directly outside the door. But if you're trying to see anything more than that, I think you'll have to roll some dice.
Okay. Before I do that, I'm going to go ahead and send a message to Mara, and I'm going to say, guards at west entrance, I'll meet you at the ship, or I won't. Go without me if I'm not back within 5 minutes of you getting there.
Oh, shit.
So Mara gets this message, and I actually think she's not really taken aback. I think this is something that she has been preparing for this whole time. The fact that one or both of them might not make it out of this. And I think she had already resigned herself that the most important thing is destroying these devices. And it's a sacrifice she was willing to make. So I do think that it's, you know, it's getting the news that you've always expected, but never wanted to see.
John, I would like to use a move from my playbook.
Okay.
Teleport. I teleport out of danger.
I'd like to use adrenaline rush. I think Arno's instincts kick in this moment. And even though he had not thought of this plan going in, as he's making his way to the administration building, he's remembering the layout of this facility, everything he's seen on the surface up until now, the placement of the guards, where a lot of the activity has been happening, and he pieces together a really hacky plan, and it'll have to be good enough. And so I would like to use Adrenaline Rush to run as quickly outside of the door of the administration building to the landing pad, to the one lone ship.
Oh boy.
Run, Forrest, run.
I hadn't even thought of this when I said that it was a ship on the back, to be honest. But, all right, buddy, go ahead and roll plus stalwart.
We'll take a 9.
All right.
So, John, this is great because there's only one thing I wanted to do here. I want to perform an incredible athletic feat, and I would like to run faster than I've ever run before, in a vac suit or otherwise, to the ship.
So, Mara, what does it look like when the device is finished being set, or the counter weapon, I guess is what we've been calling them?
So, I think that this one was extra special because as I set the last one, I probably had to do some sort of like, you know, all online, all ready to go. I also talked about kind of like fail safes or certain parameters that, like, if they're tampered with, they'll like automatically go off. So I think it's just they were all maybe like on the wrist screen or whatever she has been utilizing to check on the status of these guys. They went from maybe like red as in not active dot to blue as in like temporarily can be set off manually to green, all armed and all ready to in unison be detonated, deployed, activated.
And how much time do you put on the clock?
Ooh, good cue. Based out of all necessary precaution, I think she is going to guesstimate and set the timer, so to speak, for maybe like just as long or like 1 or 2 minutes, 5 minutes longer than she calculates it'll take her to get back to the Valiant.
All right. So, Arno, I think the outer door to the airlock opens and you step off of the metal of this structure and onto the soft terrain of this moon, and you take off running at a full sprint toward these landing pads. I think you just barely make it past the corner of the administration building when you see a line of 6 guards all holding what appear to be rifles, maybe 100 yards or so away from you, to using the map directions to the east, closer to this large crater where all of the vehicles and personnel were positioned near this shipwreck that I described. And I don't think you hear anything, right? Because they're all talking through radios, but you see the second from the left gesture in your direction, and then all 6 of them take off running toward you. Do you just continue full sprint to the ship?
Yeah, and I don't make any attempt to try to hide or like duck or find. I know there's not enough time to do that from where I'm looking right now, but I wanted them to see me.
What do we think this ship looks like? I mentioned it was the smaller, or like one of the smaller of the 3 landing pads. So, you know, it could be a shuttlecraft, it could be a kind of military ship, or it could be a kind of like smaller hauling vessel. But like, what do we think? What's the vision for this? What are you running toward?
I think of this as more of like a slow but sturdy like mining craft, or something that you'd use to like move people in and out of like the ditch or something like that. It's not meant to be comfortable. Maybe it's like standing room only with a couple of like bars overhead to hold on to as you're like boarding the thing, and it doesn't go particularly fast. It's just meant to get very reliably from point A to point B. Really great control and handling on the thing, but it's not getting pushed to any speed limits by any stretch of the imagination.
So I think you make it to the edge of this ship, and then what is it that you're trying to do next, Arno?
I want to get in and I want to turn it on.
That seems like a very reasonable request.
I would like to kite the guards. I'm a distraction, and I would like them to be headed in any direction that's away from Mara's escape route. And I have something in mind, but I'll run it by you if I can get this thing off the ground.
All right. So I think you go and you tap on the, like, whatever control panel this is. And I think it still is, like, a tap, a thing that you tap on, right? But this is clearly more industrial and old school than anything that would be on the Valiant or the ships that you're used to operating in or handling, Arno. But it still says authorization required. And I don't know if this is a thing that you'd plug your slate into or if you're literally hot wiring this. Either way, I think it's going to be an act quick roll from you. But I want you to describe how you are trying to get this ship started.
Okay, yeah. I think that in the future, folks are still cut corners wherever they can on costs. And the security on, like, the tablet, the touchpad interface, is pretty standard at this point, right? You either need to hack it directly or have the proper credentials to get in there, but most people are not getting in by accident. But you could also just force the ignition by, like, popping open the bottom, by the ignition over here and just, like, turning the thing on. You might not be able to control, like, the GPS or anything like that or enable the autopilot, but you can very much just, like, turn on the thrust, head in a direction, and get it to keep on moving. The alarm will start blaring because that's still the security feature, but, like, it's moving. It's not stopping itself because of the alarm.
Go ahead and roll plus lick.
Oh, wow. A car alarm happening in the fiction for once? Fascinating.
Just take whatever the last siren was that played on one of our
tracks.
That's
a 9. We'll take that.
Whee!
All right. So, when you use your instincts or reflexes to avoid danger or negotiate through danger toward a goal, you roll plus slick. And on a 7-9, you do it, but you have to choose one. You're either off balance or rushed and have disadvantage going forward. You've left something behind, I'll tell you what. Or you push your limits with the effort and you suffer stress.
I'd like to save the stress for later. Okay. I'm sure there's going to be another opportunity in this episode. I'm sure. I'll take disadvantage. I think that's interesting.
All right. So I think at this point, what happens is the line of advancing guards stops and you've gotten into the ship and are, like, how are you doing the hot wiring? How are you, like, forcing the ignition on? Are you, like, touching wires together, like, just physically breaking into it? What's happening?
Yeah, so I think this is so practiced for Arno in this case that, like, he doesn't really have to look all that much. Like, he's just checking to see which color wires he's doing, but once he's identified them, like, one hand's just kind of moving on its own, so, like, he'll take out a knife with one hand, cut the wires that he needs to expose them, and then, like, the rest of it is really just him keeping one eye on the, I guess, through the glass in front of him to figure out where he's steering, and the other hand is just kind of, like, keeping the wires touched together, but, like, this is a practiced maneuver for Arno. He does not need to look down to make sure that everything's still in order at this point.
So I think you're doing that, and I think you start to hear the sound of bullets hitting the ship. And I think that the glass on this cockpit, it's got to be pretty thick, especially if you mentioned this was for a sort of mining operation to withstand impacts with space rocks or things like that at the speed that a ship like this would be going at. But I think you start to see some cracks appear in that glass until the engines on this ship roar to life. Where does Arno try to move this thing?
I think what I want to do is go from the landing pad, and I'm looking at the map over here, and I kind of want to go, like, southeast at, like, a 45-ish degree angle, maybe a little steeper than that. And I would like to fly the ship over the facility towards the labs. If there are people, if there are people that are wandering around over here, I kind of want them to see the ship overhead and get distracted for it. And I think my plan is to jump out mid-flight, John.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
As soon as I get to about the dormitory area and that area between the dormitory and the production facility, that bottom right, like, production area, like, I would like to jump the gap over there and let the ship keep on flying without me in it. And I don't know if that means I need to hit a roof or what the deal is, but, like, actually, that'd be great. I'd like to hit a roof is the plan.
We're going to see how that turns out. But for a moment, I'd like to cut back to the conference.
Boo!
The real action.
Yeah. Diplomacy. It's like Star Wars.
The thing is that anything I would quote by the Trade Federation would automatically be racist. So just assume there's a Trade Federation quote happening here.
Aw, try one out. Come on.
I refuse to do that accent.
I forgot. Oh my God, I forgot.
It's so bad. It's the thing is like the worst part of The Phantom Menace is not the writing. It's all of the really racist caricatures.
There were a lot in there.
There's at least three.
They're flooding. They're all flooding back to me now.
So when we last left the conference, I think that you had just learned the results of the vote and were basking in the applause of the assembled delegates as they are congratulating you and the rest of their colleagues here on the agreement in principle, at least, toward this new armistice.
I mean, I'm all for Nasir and Leela celebrating, but I think Kaylee and Mo should also celebrate. Like, go us.
We crushed it.
Guys really had the hard task.
I agree.
Did you have some sort of like message or what were you expecting to receive that would indicate that the away team has succeeded in their mission?
Oh, there's got to be a code word. What's the code word?
Ooh, that's so good.
Canelay.
Oh, it's Canelay. I think two things. I think one, when the timer is set off, I think that we get a notification with the timer. Or like when the timer is set. We've done this before where we sort of like link those countdowns. So I think that we've got the countdown. And I think I like Canelay. Just like as a, especially since it was like our first coded message, as like a we're home safe. So we definitely have not gotten any Canelay message. But I think as soon as Mara set the timer, we got the timer.
And let me ask this then. If there's a message for we made it out safe and that's Canelay, is there a message for shit's hit the fan also?
The Canelay has hit the fan.
Status.
What was
this is also where the Canelay was.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh no. What if Canelay is it hit the fan and something else is it like something good happened?
Oh, what about Sinsa?
I mean, I like Sinsa. I don't know how y'all feel about Sinsa.
I mean, some of us did Sinsa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
I like, is it a word or is it a phrase?
I do like phrase. I do actually think it, I do like phrases.
Yeah.
Like,
the Sinsa has been planted.
Ooh. The Sinsa's gone bad?
The Sinsa has been planted, and that's the good one. And then the bad one is the Canelay has hit the fan. I think if you're having like a disaster on hand, it doesn't have to be very coded.
Yeah, it could just be the Canelay's burnt.
I like that.
We burnt the Canelay. We lost the Canelay.
We lost the Canelay. So let me ask this. Have either of these messages gone out or is it just radio silence right now? Other than the timer.
It's just radio silence right now.
I think there's a synced timer that just is there, right?
Yeah.
And you just hear like a beep and I like pull out my slate and look at it and the minutes are being adjusted and like you're sort of seeing it in real time as Mara adjusts it. And then it like locks and it starts ticking down. And that's what I think the shot is like of the timer setting and just ticking.
Okay. So if that's what we see on your slate, do you say anything to the delegates or what happens next here?
I think looking up from the slate, I just look at Leela. Now the real show begins. Hey everyone, it's Mo. Thank you so much for listening to Worlds Away. This game has been a blast to play and it has been wonderful to get to share the story with you. If you're enjoying Worlds Away so far, you can help us out by spreading the word to friends and family. And if they are starting to get annoyed with the fact that you keep talking about us, that's okay. That means you're doing it right. You can also support us by giving us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform where you listen to podcasts. And if you want to give us a shout out on social media, you can find us on most platforms at Worlds Away Pod. We're online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the episode.
Mara, where do you head now that the counterweapon has been activated?
In layman's terms, she's gonna GTFO. but good cue.
Do you just head out the south door, like where you entered?
To be clear, you know, we've referenced this a few times, but she still has kind of like heat monitors, right? Peeping for the location of other humans.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as she's making her way to the door or out the door as far as she can get, right? This is when she takes the opportunity to call Arno.
Okay. I think this is happening like right as he's starting the ship, essentially, or is just got the engines on to set the timing. And I think what you're seeing, by the way, is on your, again, your video game radar, is there was a lot of movement. And again, originally just sort of headed generally toward the center of the facility.
Yeah.
Including the production structure. But now you're seeing a bunch of blips grouping together at the sort of northwest side of the facility, again, kind of moving their way toward the landing pads without any further context.
Arno.
Yes, Dr. Belova.
Okay, so you're still alive. You see the countdown? All of the devices have been armed and they're ready to go. She's like speaking quietly as she's trying to, again, like move throughout the corridor.
Thank you for that. I'm a little preoccupied at the moment. Do you know how to get back from where you are?
Yes, I think I can make it to the Grizz by myself. Are you doing something stupid?
Barry, listen, the guards, the people working this facility, the ones who have been notably absent this entire time, they're back, and I'm going to do what I can to cause a distraction so you can get out of here. Once you get to the Grizz, give me a few minutes. And if I'm not there, just leave me.
Good luck.
So I think as you hang up, Mara, we hear the hiss of the airlock that you've entered depressurize and open up outside. And you see the wobbling, erratically controlled mining vessel that Arno has commandeered zooming over your left shoulder. And far in the distance, you see a line of running guards chasing after it, along with, I had mentioned, a sort of rover-like vehicle, almost like the Grizz, but this one has one of those large turret guns mounted on it, begin to sort of spin its wheels and go in that direction. Are you just sort of continuing to run back into the abandoned mine and toward the Grizz, or what's the move now that you've seen this sort of transpire off your shoulder?
Yeah, I think that Mara didn't necessarily ask for the distraction, but she's not going to be an idiot. She knows that Arno is better equipped to deal with situations like this than she is, and to try to pull some bullshit like what he's doing right now, she would not be as successful as like a special ops individual. So she is going to do her job, which is to get her ass back to the Valiant.
All right. So I think we see you take off running toward the abandoned mine. That's sort of on the southwest corner of the map here. Mm-hmm. Arno, where are you trying to jump out of this ship, or what does this look like?
Yeah, so my goal is to crash the ship into the lab, and I'd like to jump out on top of the roof of the dormitories.
Okay.
If at all possible. And the way that I see this happening is, like, not that I would accelerate the thing towards the lab. It's more that I'm taking an arc, and as soon as I let go of the wires, like, it's just going to lose power and crash slowly into those facilities.
Got it. So you're kind of trying to wait till it's at, like, its lowest point over the dormitory roof for you to jump out and then sort of, like, gravity do the rest of the work. Is that fair to say?
That's right.
So the move I can think of from looking at the basic move list is keep your cool. I don't know if you have anything else you can use here. You know, I would look at Juggernaut, but you already, I think, discharged that in this sequence. If you have another move, though, I'm ready to hear it. But otherwise, I think it's just keep your cool. I mean, it could be act quick, too. I'm willing to sort of, you know, accept either of those versions. But I mean, I think you might be enduring some hardship here when you hit the roof, and I'm not sure it's going to be.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Damageless, I'll put it that way.
This man does have disadvantage.
That's right.
Oh, shit, he does.
That's right.
I forgot about that, even though that literally just happened, Lauren.
Thank you for narking, Lauren.
I'm here for the drama.
Okay, 1 second. Let me add another die.
Can someone check Mike's character sheet? How many stress is he from a calamity?
Oh, if I get one more, I get a calamity.
He's one away.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
That's why the juggernaut roll was so important. If I failed, it's automatic stress. All right. Oh,
wow, that was not bad.
Oh, that's Holy a 10, shit. Baby, with disadvantage.
Oh, yes.
Let's fucking go.
Holy
oh
shit.
Oh my God.
That's fucking wild.
The Lord is with us. The Lord is with us on this day. What a blessed day.
The rest of you are Damn. So fucked in your roles.
Yeah, good thing they're not important.
I cannot believe you did that. Holy shit, dude. What does this look like?
Cool. It looks cool as fuck.
It does look cool as fuck.
It does look cool as fuck. That's very important.
That was really important to establish. So I think this looks like Arno flying over the dormitories, trying to go diagonal across them, and waiting until he can't see the soldiers below anymore, letting go of the wire, running out the side of the ship, which I don't think... I'm sorry if we didn't establish it, but I don't think it had like doors on either side, right? This is just to move miners in and out, right? And just tucking and rolling onto the roof of the dormitory.
All right. I do think even then, you're still going to take one harm.
Oh, absolutely.
That might be the minimal cost here when you hit the roof pretty hard. I think maybe you're slightly winded when you impact the... You know, I don't know how far of a drop this is, but I imagine it's at least got to be 10 or 15 feet for you to clear the full length of the building and have it hit the lab.
Nobody else can hear this because he's wearing a helmet. It's a radio frequency, but he does shout parkour as he tries to land.
Amazing.
I think maybe, Mara, you're just running. And do you look back at all at this? Are you sort of intermittently looking over your shoulder? What do we see from your perspective?
Would it be reasonable for Mara to also have a mark on Arno?
I think you do. Yeah, yeah. On the map, you do, for sure.
Yeah. So I think that once she gets, like, a clean distance away, she is checking in on him. And I think we actually see her, like, look back and forth. And it's like his dot is on top of the erratically flying spaceship. Is his dot is the spaceship, is he's in the ship. Oh my God, he's in the ship. And so she's still trying to move towards the objective here, but she's truly flabbergasted and maybe is like slowing down and maybe doing some back walking to appraise the situation.
Yeah. I wonder if you see the crash before you think to check for my dot.
No, I think she turns just in time to see you like start pulling the shit. I think she has to realize it's you first, and then, oh, fuck, what's happening?
Even better.
So I think the ship hits the lab, and I think you have the combination of whatever comes from the explosion of the ship's engines, along with the explosive decompression of the laboratory structure itself. And I think it almost like opens the building up like a tin can. And there are objects and pieces of the structure flung out. I think you actually duck Mara because some of the pieces are flung that far that you're we see little pieces of shrapnel landing around you. Arno, you're on the roof now. What do you do?
They're like a ladder.
You blew it up when you crashed the ship.
I don't think there's a ladder, but I think we established that your gloves on the suit, right, thing that you can slide down the side of the building. And I'll give you one cool freebie if you want to take that.
Oh, he's got that grippy. He's got that fucking Spider-Man grippy.
So I think that I only briefly check to see. So I'm going to go off the west side of the dormitory wall. In that space between the dorms and the production facility. And I just want to check to see if there's anyone beneath me before I make my descent.
I think you look down and maybe we see there. I mentioned there was one guard that was sort of patrolling this area. I think you see them taking off and running past you toward the smoldering wreck of the laboratories at this point.
Then I want to one hand on the side, just have enough drag over here to not be in complete free fall over here, but rather than like a controlled slow descent over here, like I want to get down as quickly as possible and just drag my whole way down.
Mm. I imagine that Mara, you're kind of hiding by the edge of the abandoned mine at this point, like sort of where you first entered the facility.
I think when first things first, when Mara sees the explosion, she quickly jumps on her slate and checks for Arno's vitals, like just rudimentary. Is there like, you know, like a heartbeat monitor, I guess. And then, yeah, if she's approaching the mining outpost, she wants to first and foremost get the grizz set up and then maybe wait just a beat to see if she gets any word from Arno.
Okay. So I think the grizz is at the far side of the sort of mining complex. Arno, do you just try to make your way there and get to the grizz as quickly as possible, or what's the move now?
Yeah, that's it. I'm making a mad dash for the grizz, and I think I might try to send a message to Mara. It'll be a voice note in this case. I'm on my way. Get the grizz ready.
I think Mara sends back, already purring.
So I'm not going to make you roll for this, Arno. I think we see you running through the mining complex past the like plasma drill I mentioned. That was this other sort of piece of equipment there. And you make it to the far side and you can see the grizz at this point. Do you just run up to the door? What does that look like as you get in?
Yeah, I don't bother to look back at this point. I'm still just going.
So I think, Mara, you hear the, or maybe even feel the door open and see Arno in his vac suit jumping into the grizz. Do you just like step on immediately, or what's the move?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that after she punches it, she immediately calls Charlie or whoever is point person.
Yeah.
And kind of just screams, like, get the Valiant up. We're headed your way.
So I think you do that, and we see the wheels of the grizz maybe, like, spin for a second and then start to roll very quickly as a dust trail is left behind you. And I think maybe we see your eyes, like, look in the... I don't know if there's a mirror or cameras, and maybe they're cameras that are arranged to look like how mirrors look in our vehicles these days.
Hell yeah.
But I think you see it's still pretty far in the distance, but you start to see Mad Max style, right? Some
fuck
dust
yes.
trails moving in your direction as well. And so what I think I'd like you to do is roll act quick, Mara, unless you have another move that you think better describes your operating the grizz to avoid your pursuers. I'm open to suggestions also if there's ways to help or other things that Arno wants to do in this scenario, but I think I want to know how you're avoiding your pursuers.
I think I would like now to use plans within plans.
Oh, shit.
And I do think rhetorically, right, Mara maybe, just maybe had enough time when she was waiting for Arno to engineer the plasma drill to go off erratically.
I do love that.
Okay.
I kind of forgot that you had plans within plans. I was like, damn, they just kind of left the plasma drill there unused. That's sad. But
no,
that is not what happened.
I stashed it mentally because I was like, we just kind of verbally moved on very quickly. But I do think, again, like, I don't think it was there was a little bit of in the story time, believable amount of time for her to go hack and crack.
Yeah, no, that makes tons of sense. I think go ahead and roll plus calculating and we'll see what happens.
Oh, this is a biggie. I got a plus 3. Come on. 6, 7, 8,
fuck
9, 10.
Yeah.
Woo!
All right.
Feeling good.
So on a 10 plus, you can choose one. Your plan's as described, and it will help you. So you either have something stashed in your person or nearby to help you out. You have an ally waiting in the wings to come through just when you need it. Or you have a trap set up and wait for the perfect moment. Sounds like it's the third one.
Yeah. I think what she has done is made the plasma drill able to be remote activated, of course. And I think that she kind of, I don't want to say like loosen the bearings. I don't think she had enough time to physically interact with it. But I think she's going to essentially overpower the drill such that it like blows itself off kilter and generates a giant ravine, kicking up dirt and dust and large rocks and all sorts of shit that would create a physical barrier that our pursuing party would have to overcome.
I think it's even more extreme than that.
Oh,
I think
fuck yeah.
You took off like all of the sort of limiters on this thing.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And actually, before I describe that, Arno, do you say anything to Mara as you're seeing the vehicles advancing toward you in the rearview camera mirror?
No, I'm catching my breath, and I think I've got my hand near my belt where my grenades are. Okay. And I'm trying to like think about like, this is really fucking stupid and risky, but if I have to do it, I have to do it type situation, because like this could go wrong in so many ways, and I think I'm just waiting for like when it becomes necessary to throw a grenade.
Yeah, I think she sees him, and I think she just like puts her hand on his hand and is like, don't worry, I prepared something for this.
I think when you say that, you have to almost like turn away because the camera is whited out by the flash from this plasma drill. And
we see
a stream of the most intense red orange, like almost like liquid flame, pour down into the gray dust in this crater. And I think you feel it before we hear it, but a fissure in the surface of this moon starts to cut out from this crater, almost like you have caused a fault line to break apart behind you. And I think you're just pedal to the metal and driving the Grizz as fast as possible. And we see the pursuing vehicles kicking up these dust storms almost swerve and spin out just short of this growing fissure behind you as the Grizz goes into the tunnel.
Well, shit.
On the other end, I think you pull out and maybe you just drive directly onto the vehicle lift of the Valiant. And maybe as that is being raised up, the Valiant's already lifting off the ground. I think we see the next shot is the two of you sort of running onto the bridge. So as you enter the bridge and take your stations, are you trying to engage the stealth system and sort of make it out of there undetected? Or is the goal just to go as fast as possible and jump away, even if you've tipped off their defenses?
I think go as fast as possible and jump away. I think that we can go ahead and throw stealth out the window as we just shot a giant plasma drill through their moon.
So in that case, I don't think you need to roll silent running. But what I do want you to roll, or at least one of the two of you to roll, is for the contramatter drive. And so I'd like you to go ahead and roll plus alien to see how this attempt to jump away goes.
I have a minus one alien.
I have a zero.
You're both so good at this.
Zero it is.
Fun fact, zero is higher than negative one.
What?
Expand on that.
I'm not sure if you knew that.
No, I didn't. Well, yellow. Oh, that's bad. That is a four.
That's experience
so,
right there.
I think we just explode or something.
Woof? Question mark?
I hope that's not an auto stress because that's a calamity.
You know what I haven't looked at in a little while? The calamity list. Not never. Lauren, have you pulled a calamity yet?
No, this might be my first big C.
How much stress do you have?
Four.
Oh, shit.
You could give them both.
I was not
calamities.
Joking. Like, everything that I just
double
said was
calamity
accurate.
All the way across the space. We're doomed. We're doomed.
Mike, pop a quick emergency lean on me roll, if you don't mind.
So normally on a six or less, you're either stuck where you are or you find yourself in grave danger somewhere else. I can describe what happens there, or I'll allow you to take a stress, which would give you your first calamity of the game. And I think there's one or more options on there that could help resolve this scenario, maybe in exchange for some different problems. And I'll let you decide which you want to do here.
I'm going to take the calamity.
And then which calamity are you going to take? And I'll just note that there is one that says you receive help or discover an opportunity. So that one would help you, but you could also...
I think I'm going to lose a gear slot in one of my items. And I kind of know which one I want to lose.
If the question on your face, John, is how that helps get out of it...
That is the question, but I'm willing to explore this further.
What is it you want to lose, Lauren?
Oh, I was going to say my scanner is broke.
Oh, I think the scanner could absolutely... You just have to sci-fi babble it away a little bit, but you could definitely make reasons why you, like, compromised your fancy scanner to, like, readjust coordinates or reboot something. Or, like, you could definitely do this. I have faith in your ability to construct a narrative where the jump is failing and you sacrifice your fancy scanner to get yourselves out. Crack pilot Mara Belova? Oh, I have faith.
Now, how much crack are we talking about here?
Listen, Lauren, I sold all I could. I did my best.
No, it was solid. It was solid. No, it was just more of like, what do I find more narratively interesting? I know this role was explicitly for us to be able to jump away, but it was like, I was just thinking, like, I think just like something fundamentally has changed in Mara. And I think the scanner is something that she's been utilizing this whole time and kind of represents her ability to analyze a situation. And I think there's just personally something has fundamentally changed.
So I think I'm willing to go along with that, but I think there's going to be a few other things that happen to get us there. Before I answer that, though, I think we see the timer ticking down to 3 seconds, to 2 seconds, and to 1 second. What does it look like as these devices go off?
I don't think there is anything traumatic about it. I don't think there are, you know, simultaneous explosions. I don't think, you know, like it's not like they emit a noise or a light. There's just a before and an after. And it's done.
So I think we see the timer tick to zero. And maybe your focus goes back to the surface of the moon. And as you said, you see nothing. There's no change. But you know that the devices have just gone off. And if everything worked in the way that you thought, you've now deactivated this facility and all of the luster-destroying devices that were stored there. But I think as we're looking back, and maybe this was almost like the contrast was reduced because of the gray-white color of the dust on this moon, you can make out a cloud of white exhaust that is punctuated by an explosion hundreds of yards from the Valiant as a missile explodes seconds before the shrapnel begins to hit the Valiant. I want you to mark 3 damage on the Valiant.
Oh, our baby.
And I think the entire engineering section of the ship is vented into space.
Oh, shit.
Fuck.
Mara, you and Arno have your vac suits already on. And I think that you run aft and make it down as fast as you can and see red flashing lights as the drive is sort of sputtering and failing to initiate the jump. Arno, do you go with her or do you stay on the bridge?
I go with her.
I think he starts to go, but then I tell him to stay.
I think I'll just nod. She's got this.
John, I have a question.
Yeah.
Where was Charlie?
I just don't know how much of an asshole to be right now. I don't think Charlie's dead.
Why would you ask that?
Because he said he specifically said the engineering section.
Let me think.
Yeah.
You don't got to think. I think your instinct's okay. I think Charlie's not dead. That's fine.
I think Charlie was on the engineering deck.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
And I think when you walk in, Mara, you see red warning lights flashing. And I don't think you hear anything at all, right? Because it's been vented into space. And is there some kind of... Like, do we imagine that there's some kind of emergency system that you would have that maybe like engages to give you oxygen? Like some side of... like face covering that pops up. What do we think that looks like on the ship?
Well, I'm still in my vac suit, right?
You're in your vac suit, correct?
Yeah.
And it's not like a suit. You know what I mean? This is like a very temporary life saving measure.
So you know, in most public buildings, every so often, every so many feet, there's like a on every floor there's a fire extinguisher. I wonder if on the ship every so many feet. There's like an emergency container that has oxygen recessed like to the air wall. Yeah.
I also think in addition to like having air, it's probably like that sort of face covering I talked about, like where scuba equipment.
Yeah.
That I was using on Eos. Like it's essentially like a clear face mask that you put on and like link to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe there's nothing on them in that case, like when you enter the room. But I think you see maybe the gravity is kind of off also because this mm-hmm. this whole space is messed up, right? But I think you see Charlie floating and they're hurt real bad, right? If they were a player character, that's the level of injury that they would have.
Shit.
What do you do?
Can Mara assess by herself? Could she fix the problem and get us to jump ready?
I think that you can, right? There's, in fact, there's an explicit move for that in the ship playbook or a way to deal with that. But I guess my first question is, I mean, this room is vented into space, and I don't know if Charlie has much time. Do you like get them out, or what do you do to help them? Do you call anyone else to help? Just how are you addressing that piece of the situation?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
God damn it, Arno stayed behind.
Or is it just that, like, you need to get the ship fixed first?
Yeah, if they're shooting missiles at us, Mara's gut reaction is that they're not going to stop. And I'm going to apply a hook here. Solving the big problems is the most important thing I can do. I won't let relationships with others stand in the way. And I think that she makes the call and starts to try to patch the ship. To be clear, she does signal the bridge
mm-hmm.
that like Charlie is down, but she tells them that she's going to get the drive up and running and to send help.
All right, you get that message. What do you do?
I'm not a pilot. I'm not a navigator. I'm not of use to anyone on the bridge. And so I make my way over to engineering to try to save Charlie.
Do you have any moves, anything that'll let you get there faster? Like, does Juggernaut apply here?
I've already discharged
Juggernaut.
Both of my moves that could do this, Juggernaut and Adrenaline Rush.
I think for this purpose, I'm willing to say that this is a different scene. And if you want to roll Juggernaut, I would allow you to do that. But that obviously carries some risk. Otherwise, I think it's act quick.
Oh, God damn. Are you going to also get a calamity?
Okay.
It's a defense of a plus one. You should take it.
Well, no, that's not what I was wondering. I'm wondering if Adrenaline Rush is more appropriate, but it's unflinching towards immediate danger. So yeah, I'll accept that. Okay.
If you clear or uncover a way through for an ally, right?
Yeah.
That's Charlie.
That's pretty textbook over here.
You unquestionably reach your goal would come in real handy right now.
I know.
Would love too. Unquestionably reach your goal.
Oh, that's rough. Oh, that's rough.
Another four.
Wait. Did you roll with disadvantage? Why?
I didn't roll with disadvantage.
He rolled two ones and a two.
I get a plus two.
Two ones. Oh, no.
Another four has hit the game.
Okay, that's a... That's another calamity.
Fuck.
We were doing so well, too.
John was being nice.
That's kind of an insane thing to happen. I thought you were going to at least get a seven, bro.
I thought so, too.
Isn't there a calamity that's just like you get some help or something?
Yeah.
I don't know if Arno already used that one.
I did not use that one.
You do not automatically get a stress. You only automatically get a stress on a partial success. You fully failed. Mm-hmm. Whatever's about to happen is fully coming from John.
Well,
you don't necessarily get the calamity.
So I think the stress is appropriate in this case.
Oh, yeah, but there might be additional consequences to that, right? Like, you may not take a calamity. I suspect Charlie is dead.
So,
right?
I think, John, make a decision you want to make, but if I can just take creative license over here to go through with what's going on in Arno's head as he's like making his way from the bridge, I'd very much like to be able to share his thoughts.
Yeah, I have an idea for that, but I'm open to hearing that from you too.
I think Arno is still rattled, and that this was the first conscious thought or decision that he's made since he came to in the administration building. I think up until now, he's been running on adrenaline and his instincts kicked in. And ever since he got on the Valiant, his hands haven't stopped shaking and he's really struggling to process everything that's just happened. But he thinks that this is all his fault. And that if he hadn't gone into the administration building, we wouldn't be in this mess. And the only way that he knows to make it right is that there's somebody on the crew in danger and he can try to save their life. And that's what he's trying to do right now. And he leaves the bridge, I think still not at 100% over here, motivated more by desperation than anything else.
I do want you to mark a stress. And I do want you to tell me what calamity you take.
An ally or resources put in peril or harmed. I think that it makes sense that I can't come in and save the day at the last second over here. And I don't know what that means for Charlie in this case, but I think that that's the consequence.
So my question for you then, Mike, is what happens that causes Arno to slow down or miss a beat just as he's about to reach the engineering deck?
I'm going to invoke a sci-fi cliche and say that there's flashing lights in the hall. Maybe some are flickering further ahead. And Arno has navigated the Valiant so many times that he doesn't need to consciously think about the rooms he's going to. His feet can more or less just take him there. But the flashing lights momentarily remind him of his experience he just had on Aventine 2B, where he momentarily lost himself. And he expects that as he takes a turn, that he's going to end up back in that place, trudging through the water again, and pauses before making the turn. And I think he stands completely still, in fact. I think he's afraid to look to see if he ends up back there. And it's the blare of the alarm again that brings him back, and his body just takes over, ignoring his mind's call to resist looking down that hall, to resist being taken back over there, before he realizes it's just a hallway. And he keeps going.
Mara, back in the engineering deck, I think you are doing everything you can to fix the contramatter drive and get the ship to jump. And I think what that means is making spot repairs to the Valiant. In order to do that, you're going to have to roll keep your cool to complete the repairs under this scenario. But I will say, I think because of your technician background, that you can make that roll with advantage.
Okay. Oh, we need it. We need it.
But I think the cost to that is going to be the use of your scanner to make the repair.
Yeah. Okay, that is a 11, 12, 13.
What do you do with your scanner, or what does this look like as you sort of jerry-rig the drive together?
I think that she kind of rips the guts out of the scanner and exposes the kind of sophisticated wiring that's in the inside. And I think the idea here is that she doesn't exactly know where the issue is, or if there are multiple issues, the priority order, or if you fix issue A, will B and C, can we limp along to just get out of here? So I think that she is like hardwiring the scanner into the instrumentation of the contramatter drive to get an idea of how to fix the problem. The scanner becomes one with the contramatter drive.
So I think we see you do that, and maybe just at that moment, Arno, you enter the room, and the gravity kicks back in and the lights kind of turn from this red to blue. And then outside of the Valiant, we see a few moments later, two missiles streak by as the Valiant jumps away and the streaks of exhaust just continue through empty space. Back on Ascension, I think your slates go off. And my question for Arno and Mara is, we've established that once you make the jump to faster than light travel, you can't communicate at that point. So I think you only had a second, maybe 2 seconds after Mara fixed the drive to get off the communication that signaled what happened on this mission. And we had talked about a code for you succeeded and a code for things went to shit. What is it that Nasir and Leela receive on their slates?
Well, how long after the devices being deactivated were we hit by the missile?
It was like a second or two after, like maybe, you know, or within seconds of it going off.
Oh.
And then I think that you know, it took like a minute or two to jump away after that.
I think the answer is nothing.
Yeah, I don't think we had time or the wherewithal to think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So Nasir and Leela, you just see the timer tick down and, you know, maybe it's like you see the kind of spinning wheel and it just is, there's no sound, right? It just hits zero and just you see it. It almost turns gray and then flashes once and then stops. But you just see that on your slates.
I feel like maybe we give it another 5 minutes, just kind of waiting for the message, and maybe then it's 10 minutes. And then we're just kind of looking at each other, trying to figure out what to do next.
Either their communications have been compromised or they've already made the jump to faster than light travel. And they won't be able to reach us. The countermeasure has been deployed. We need to call the delegates together. And I think if I was leaned or seated, I'll like rise and I'll brush myself off.
And I think if I can set the room a little bit or describe that piece of it, I think what was happening is this was just after the, you know, the applause and everything that we described in the last scene. I think that the delegates are all kind of talking to each other, right? We're still in this room that's the plenary session and people are just kind of having casual conversation, maybe about the future and about what comes next, but nobody has the floor. Like the room is just sort of, you know, it's not, there's no meeting happening despite everyone being still present.
After I brush myself off, I'll make an announcement to the room. If we could please have a quick side panel with the delegates from Earth and Aventine to discuss the reassignment of both fleets to the Interplanetary Council of Humanity, given that there are no other delegations here with standing military presences, and I wish everyone the best in their celebrations.
I think you get a few looks from people, right? It's not, you know, they're not overly suspicious, but it's, you know, there's a few looks, but then I think people kind of nod and accept what you told them. Do you leave this room or is this, or does everybody else leave? Like, do you go somewhere else with the delegations from Earth and Aventine or do you remain here?
I think we go somewhere else. I think from the time we called this summit until the moment when the first delegates arrived, there were multiple weeks on Ascension Station. And I think we have been planning for this moment very carefully. So I think we lead them into a side room. And once everyone, that's got like a central conference table. And once everyone is seated and the door closes, the glass door darkens out like the president's room did in the very first session back on Earth. I think I also place a small device on the door and you hear like a light whine out of it that eventually sort of fades out. And I think I've disabled all, it's a device designed to disable electronic recording in and out of the room. Mm-hmm. Like the goal is to make this as inaccessible as possible. And I think we've prepared for this very heavily.
So I think in the room, there are three delegates from each planet. For Aventine, the delegates are, of course, in Kyros, a woman we've not described before, but relatively young, I would say mid-30s, with pale skin, short, extraordinarily straight, almost bleach white hair, who you all are aware is a senior military advisor to the First Minister, along with the acting consul to Ascension Station, Ramon Herrera. For Earth, the delegates are President Evelyn Lee, her Chief of Staff, Mar Elkin, and Rear Admiral Isabella Mendoza.
You motherfucker.
Fucking finally, the main heroine of the story.
Isabella Rear motherfucking. Isabella motherfucking.
I know
Mendoza.
I'm a fucking side character. Are you guys just learning this about yourselves?
Oh, I've been new.
This is because Arno failed that role like 5 episodes ago.
Arno fails roles, the rest of us suffer. Where have you been? Time to fail a role and make it everybody else's problem.
And I think the 6 of them are standing behind their chairs, like not taking a seat yet.
If everyone would please be seated.
I think they exchange looks sort of side to side and then do as you ask.
What we are about to discuss in this room is the most top secret information in the Milky Way galaxy. No recording devices that anyone carries at this moment should be functional, and nothing from outside of this room will be able to pick up what we discuss inside of it. In the darkest moments of the original Galactic War, Earth began developing a prototype for a device that would label Lustra completely inert as a first strike weapon. Aventine located the technology during the war when a device was left behind on Aventine 2B. On that day, the rogue vessel commonly referred to as the Ghost Ship was first spotted above Aventine 2B.
And I think throughout this, Leela and Nasir are going to switch off and again in a very well choreographed manner continue to like weave this story. So I think at this point, Leela steps up and says, "The war ended and the armistice was signed, but that armistice was not a true armistice. We know there was militarization on both sides, but there was also proliferation of these Lustra destroying devices. Aventine began stockpiling them on Aventine 2B.
In addition to developing and stockpiling devices on Aventine 2B, Aventine began testing these devices of various sizes across the Verge, unbeknownst to the Republic. What the Republic was able to discover is that Lustra was being depleted on planets across the Verge, so a secret mission was launched under the auspices of the Minerva Project to identify the anomalies across the Verge, to determine their cause, and to stop whatever was causing Lustra to disappear before it could trigger another war.
Well then, the 4 of us entered the scene. We encountered the Ghost Ship early on in our time in the Verge. We were able to quickly establish that Aventine was aware of its existence as well, but didn't seem to be responsible for it.
We eventually, in one of our missions, tracked down a Lustra-destroying device on the planet Feronia and disabled it in an attempt to reverse engineer and track it. At which point, we sent it back to Earth for further study. But not before Dr. Belova, genius that she is, engineered a way to track these devices wherever they may be in the galaxy.
Later, we picked up the trace of another of these devices and were able to recover it in the aftermath of another ghost ship attack, this time on the Aventine vessel, the Amity. We ourselves faced off with the ghost ship and made a very close escape.
Before I say my next line, John, what are the looks on everybody's faces?
So I think what you see superficially, I'll give you that. And if you want more, I think you might have to roll dice. I think superficially you see Mar and President Lee looking at each other, maybe nervously. And I think you see Mendoza just with a complete poker face on.
Of course, because she's the main character.
On the other side of the table, I think you see Kiros. I think he looks guarded, right? I think there could be more than that that you could get, but I think he looks guarded. And I think the other two, meaning Ramon and the military advisor I mentioned, whose name you know is Clara Gaines, are both looking, I would say, just nervous. They're not sharing a look, but they look concerned.
I'll continue. Most importantly, none of this information is new to anyone in this room. Rear Admiral Isabella Mendoza has been aware of our original mission via reports from Lieutenant Arno Hines since before we even left the Sol system. I myself have been giving regular reports to the Lee administration, and Aventine has been made aware of our every move by Ramon Herrera, who I've been meeting with since I landed on Ascension Station. What none of you are aware of is that moments ago, countermeasures were deployed on Aventine 2B to fully and completely disable all Lustra-destroying devices and the facility which was manufacturing them. And a backdoor code was initiated on the device which was sent to the Sol system, installed by Dr. Mara Belova, to disable that device. We are not going to recreate the sins of our ancestors on the eve of a new interplanetary council, a united and free humanity. These weapons were a crime against every sapient being in the galaxy and all future sapient beings. We're taking them off the table. Going forward, we will widely distribute Dr. Belova's methods for tracking the use, development, and location of LDDs, should anyone seek to build one in the future. And we will also distribute the schematics for countermeasures to destroy Lustra-destroying devices. The first act of the Interplanetary Council of Humanity will be a report which outlines exactly how to locate and stop these devices before they should ever come again. The question is, will that report read that a room full of leaders from Earth and Aventine willingly turned over the remainder of their devices in an effort to lead humanity towards a peaceful future? Or will it read that your two planets sought to kill and betray this new armistice in its crib?
Is Nasir standing when he says that, or is...
I'm standing. I think we're both standing.
Yeah, I think we've both been standing.
And do you remain so?
Yes. I also, there isn't any nervousness in Nasir. And I'm not sure who he expects to hate him the most in this room.
I think that Aiden Kiro stands up. And it's after several seconds of silence. And I think he looks at you for a second, but then looks down at the Republic delegates and says, "We never used these weapons in war. Only the Republic attempted that. Everything we did here was to defend ourselves. And with this," and he looks up at you, Nasir, "a strike on our own home system, how is the Minerva Project anything more than an arm of the Republic fleet?"
To start with your accusation, the Republic and the fleet had no knowledge of this incident, nor did they supply anything for it. The Minerva Project exists now as an arm of the Interplanetary Council of Humanity. And I think I'll look him in the eye before my next words. And I will do whatever is necessary to ensure that we are off to the right start. As for your claims that all you did to defend yourself. I'm sure that the people of Consus and Satis and Feronia will be thrilled to hear that you have been defending yourself from them and depleting their lustra supplies. And there's an accusation in my voice.
I think Leela adds, don't forget that humans are not the only ones affected by this depletion of lustra. What you have all done, what we have all done, has wrought untold damage on the other inhabitants of the Verge as well.
So I think before I say what happens next, I do want you to roll. The move I think I want one of you to roll, I'm open to suggestions about who, is manipulate. I'm also willing to entertain a suggestion of help or lean on me, or it could just be one of you rolls.
I mean, I'm down to roll the manipulate roll. Do you want to roll lean on me? Up to you.
Lean on me is...
How much stress you guys got?
I'm pretty good.
I got stress. I'm fine on stress. I think I'm actually cleared. I'm just going to roll the dice a few times.
You know, it would be crazy. Take a calamity.
How did you get 3 sixes in a row, bro?
So lean on me is stalwart. I feel like Leela's been helping out a little. I can roll that.
Give it a shot.
Big money, no whammy.
Whammy?
That's a whammy.
Probably
should have checked if I had anything that would give me advantage, but, you know, here we are.
You do have that thing that's like you get to do special stuff when you help somebody lean on, when you do a lean on me for somebody else, don't you?
That's when I share wisdom or perspective on a spiritual conundrum.
All right. Well, what's the consequence of that 4?
Man, really saved all the whiffs for the, the end of the episode here. So I'm going to give you a choice, Haley.
Okay.
And that choice is either Nasir has to roll with disadvantage or you have to take 2 stress, which is not enough to give you a calamity, but gets you pretty close.
Take the 2 stress.
I'll take the 2 stress. And then that way, when I fail something else later, then I'll get the calamity.
Fuck yeah. Join the club.
All right. I'm rolling the manipulate roll. Pray for me.
Just before you do that, I'll just say, I think the thing that gets you, maybe, Leela, is I think when you say that last piece about it affecting other life in the Verge, I think you just see confused, blank, and uninterested stares from the 6 people at the table.
Damn.
These fuckers. All right. Manipulate. Let's go. That's a 7.
All
2
right.
plus 2 is 4, plus 3 is 7. God bless.
Oh.
I'll take a partial success. I saw a 4 and I almost cried. It's a 7.
It stresses me the hell out that you don't click your plus modifier roll. I don't know why you do that every fucking time.
Because that's how it works at a real table.
Yeah, we've got invented technology that moves us beyond that. It's called a dice roller.
That is a success. It is a success. Okay, so, buddy. That was a little close for comfort there.
When you use Promises, Guile, or Charm to manipulate someone into doing what you want, say what you want, what you're willing to give, and you roll plus slick. On a 7 to 9, they can make a counteroffer to be settled now before they do what you want. Or they can ask you to promise something and provide concrete assurance that you'll follow through, and then they'll do what you want. So I think Aiden Kuros still glaring at you. I actually don't know if he sits down. I just think that Ramon Herrera stands up. And I think he says, you said you recovered another of these devices. Where is that device now?
I have an actual question. Is it currently on board the Valiant?
Yeah.
Like, I know it's in our... Yeah, okay. The device has remained in Dr. Belova's possession as she developed the countermeasures. It is currently on board the RSV Valiant.
And what is it that you intend to do with it?
I think Leela steps in and says, I believe that is up for discussion I would point out that we've encountered this ghost ship at multiple points over the years. And at this point, I think she makes eye contact with Mendoza and then the military advisor for Aventine Gaines in turn. And she says, each of you have suspected the other to be in control of the ghost ship. But we've all suffered at its hands. We may need the capabilities of the Lustra destroying devices to lure out the ghost ship and eliminate the threat that it presents to us for once and for all.
So I think when you say that, Ramon Herrera goes to speak, but I think Aiden Kyrus actually holds up his hand and he says, as far as we're aware, the only purveyors of this stealth technology includes your own ship as the Minerva Project. Your claim that this vessel is harassing both sides is belied by the evidence. But in any case, despite my desire to get to the bottom of who specifically is responsible for this, if Aventine is agreeing to disarm, we will not allow this council or its agents to maintain a weapon this powerful. If you want our agreement, they must all be destroyed.
Done. And there's not like a second of hesitation from Nasir. And I will actually turn away from the Aventine delegation and look directly at President Lee. There is an opportunity now to secure the most powerful, lasting peace since the end of the wars of the 21st century. And I actually think there's not like a move, but I'm going to invoke like our shared history. Madam President, I have given everything for peace, and I would give it again. I am asking that you dare to dream.
Before I say what happens next, what do we see from Leela after Nasir so quickly agreed?
I think she's practiced at keeping her composure, but even so, for a moment, I think she looks hurt.
I think there's a long pause. And then I think President Lee almost disbelievingly shakes her head left to right. But then she stands up and says, what the hell? And holds out a hand to Aiden Kyrus, almost ignoring you, Nasir. And I think with a very skeptical look on his face, he looks up and looks at President Lee and then takes her hand in his. Back on the Valiant, I think we're inside the med bay. And I think we see Mara and Arno. I'm not sure if you're still in your vac suits or if you've taken them off at this point or sort of what you're wearing. But I think you're standing around the auto dock and we see Charlie Zamora lying there. And I think their vital signs show that they are in a coma with significantly reduced brain activity, occasionally punctuated by a state that looks close to dreaming. And I think from what you're seeing, it's unclear as of now if they're going to live or not.
Fuck.
I think Arno has been in rooms like this before, after missions like this. And every other time, it was during war with somebody who signed up knowing that this was going to be a potential outcome. And while Charlie joined this mission voluntarily and knew the risks, this hits differently because this might not be the first time that it's Arno's fault that someone got hurt, but it is the first time that he lost control and someone got hurt. And I think he slumps down into a chair and puts his head in his hands.
What's Mara doing?
I think Mara is standing over Charlie, and like there is a mix of disgust and fury on her face.
At Charlie?
There's just a look on her face. I'll expand.
I thought it was aimed at the self, but then
again, I knew that it was, but I figured that you were going to ask that. I don't mind. Come.
Let me go on.
Fine.
Might surprise you. This is the second time that they shot at our backs. They lost. Both times. Incompetent. And what do? Shoot at us. Pathetic.
I think without looking up, Arno... Actually, no, sorry. I think Arno says nothing.
You were right. You were right. We should have just finished it.
Without looking up, Arno says, if we had never stopped, there would be more scenes like this, but I don't think you would have seen them. And I think he looks up, and Mara, is your back to me right now?
Yeah, I imagined that you were like sitting behind her.
We need to talk about what happened.
She'll turn back around.
And I think he says, I need to talk about what happened. When we were on Aventine 2B, after I planted the first device near the bunkers, I lost control. And I don't mean that I was overcome by an emotion or the moment. I completely lost control. I looked up and I wasn't hiding near the bunkers anymore. I was in a maze and there was water rising and I was trying to outrun that water. And the only thing I could think of, the only thing that I wanted to do, my whole reason for existing in that moment, was finding proof about aliens. And I ran into the administration building and I found a computer, and the longer I kept running, the faster the water kept rising. And I tried to find everything and anything that they had on 2B about the ghost ship or aliens or just anything. And I found it just as I felt like I was about to drown. And before I could take what felt like was my last breath, I had this moment of clarity, and I was back in my indexing session with Leela, and she came up to me and said, well, she didn't say much of anything. She just convinced me that aliens were real. And I don't mean that she talked to me about it. She made me believe it while we were in our indexing session. And then I believed it. And I forgot that she made me believe it until I was in that room. And it wasn't until I had the information that I snapped out of it. And then by that point, the alarms were going off and we needed to get out of there. This didn't go wrong because of a risk that we took to further the mission. This went wrong because I lost control.
I think there just have been waves of emotions passing over Mara's face. Initially, she's interpreting what he's saying as like a desire or an obsession with figuring out the truth was the causative agent of everything that has just transpired. But the more, of course, that she listens, she's falling into deep thought. And I think she walks over and slumps in a chair, maybe one separated from Arno, and says, "So it was just a compulsion, a sensation that you couldn't control came over you."
It was so much more than that. I don't know if I felt like I wanted to or didn't want to do anything. I just acted.
When we were on Eos hunting the attempted bomber in the crowd, I had him cuffed. And suddenly Leela appeared and reached out and grabbed him, and I don't know how to describe it. In that moment where we were all connected, it felt like my mind, I don't know. And then when Torres was here, he told me about other incidences that the Republic had collected of encounters. Ruby Watson, some other people. I talked to Lila about it, and it really just seemed like Torres was trying to divide us. I think something's gone very wrong.
I didn't know that something had happened until I snapped out of it. I don't know if anything else has happened. And not just to me, but to anybody else. I'd never been indexed before, so I don't know. I don't know. But this shouldn't have happened. I think that Arno stands up and walks towards Charlie. I have to confront her about this. It can't happen again.
I think Mara stands up and walks over and puts her hand on his shoulder. It won't.
I'm fucked.
If it isn't the consequences of my own actions.